piece of a whole with different feelings to be built. Giving distinction to the role, different players, different strokes.
But let me tell you about one thing.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here with you on this starting to cloud up day, but I saw the sun. It's very nice out there this morning, upper 50s, and we'll get about to 80 degrees today. So it's another beautiful morning in the Triangle area, and we're, of course, Brother Rufus is sitting across the table from me here. Good morning there, Rufus.
Good morning, Mr. Raley.
You awake and everything?
Well awakened with all these superstars here.
We got them, man. We got some knowledge.
Those Gerald's, I say, back up home.
Gerald.
And Johnny. Cheryl and Gerald. And by the way, I want to thank, while I got the mic here, Mike, I want to thank everybody for having a wonderful Super Kids event on Thursday night. It was phenomenal. Out at Pam, she put on a big feed, and we had about 150 people, and I want to thank the listeners who came, and to thank my friend Mike Raley for being such a part of putting, over the years, past 31 years, we put over 80 kids in school who otherwise, Gerald and Johnny, would not have gotten to go to college without it. So just a thank you to all the wonderful people who've made that possible.
Well, my pleasure, and I'm sure everybody who went, everybody who wanted to go is saying the same thing this morning, and some wonderful young people there. We even had Miss Teen North Carolina, USA.
Wasn't she a sight? Yeah. And not only a sight, she was
beautiful,
was smart.
Yes. You know, the whole ball of wax, an entrepreneur. She's got it all. So good luck to her, but we did have a great time the other night after we got through all the state fair traffic.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you.
Joe the Bouncer, by the way, he spent 9 hours getting there coming from Virginia.
Did he ever make it?
Bless his heart, he made it in the end.
Oh.
And I had a good conversation with him after it was over, sitting out and smoking a cigar.
Yeah, but, well, bless his heart. Yeah,
he and Susan made it.
What a nice couple. And to drive all that way through all that traffic. It was bad enough driving from up north, but having to drive across Raleigh during the state fair days is not easy. Johnny Coley, Gerald Adams, boys, how y'all doing?
Doing good.
Everything all right?
Yeah. I'm dry, but it's good.
yeah, it is getting a little dry. I've heard a little bit of a report this morning on the way in that we're not actually in a drought yet.
No.
We're still, it's dry, but we had so much rain early in this time of year.
That's what they say. We're not in a drought yet. My garden doesn't say that.
A climatologist says we're not in a drought, but the driest part of the state is up around Elizabeth City.
Yeah.
What do they call that? The black earth, black soil, black something area of North Carolina. Soil is so rich up there.
Yeah, that's where my wife is from, Elizabeth City area.
Yeah.
I remember digging a hole there to plant a tree when we I don't know if we were married yet or not, but her mother was still living there, and we were digging the hole, and I was like, why did you move from here? Because the soil is so wonderful. I mean, goodness gracious, you can just dig 3 or 4 feet down and just steal topsoil.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. Very near the coast, and we see some of that on our coast, some of that soil, too, and in areas. But
is that why the peanuts grow so well up in that neck of the woods?
That's up in there. Southern Virginia and Northeast.
Yeah.
Southeast Virginia and Northeast North Carolina.
County, Halifax County.
Yeah.
Bertie County, of course.
Right.
The peanuts.
So, I never saw peanut stacks when I was a kid until I got to Edgecombe County. I mean, just across the line there. But I don't think we had any in Nash County that I remember, but I may be wrong. But we don't have peanut stacks anymore. I don't know how they dry them. now. Do you know, Gerald?
They flip them upside down. The only reason I know that,
do they know if they're upside down?
Oh, I don't know. get them where the deer can get to them.
I'll have to ask Commissioner Troxler about that.
I've made 3 trips in the last week to Chesapeake, Virginia. And that stretch of 58 from 95 down to Chesapeake, there's peanuts everywhere. And I mean everywhere.
Yeah. Well, how do you recognize the fields now? All I remember are the peanut stacks.
Well, I mean, they've already – I don't think I saw a field. I saw tons of them where they didn't flip them over out of the ground. Yeah, but they hadn't actually come along and harvested. I don't know how long they have to dry.
I don't either. I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about harvesting peanuts.
Before they do that, but they were everywhere and just starting to pick cotton. Cotton and peanuts was 90% of what I saw. Yeah.
One of my friends at NC State, that dad was a big peanut farmer up in Pottawatomie.
Mm-hmm.
The other claim to fame in Pottawatomie was that they had a coffin factory up there.
Oh, my.
So that was up there around Catfish Hunter country.
Is that where Pocahontas was from? Pottawatomie.
I have no idea. All right, well, it is dry, but we can overcome that. There's no drought yet, and we're not having to save too much water. So get out there and water, but water properly. It's hard to gauge sometimes the proper way to water. Gerald, I'm sure people have been planting this right up to now, been planting those fescue lawns. Replanting.
Yeah, if they hadn't put any water on them, their lips are poked out because they've not had much success since the hurricane came through. And that's about the only real rain we've had. I've seen a little sprinkle the other day, but it wasn't enough to even put spots on your car.
Yeah.
So it's worse than normal this year. Every year and forever when I was at the governor's mansion, it was a nonstop, doing fescue every fall, and I'd always start early and do it again. And it seems like when you got to October, you needed just a little bit of rain to get those seedlings up. And
I know.
That rain would be hard to come by.
Yeah, it's always, I think it's traditionally our driest month, maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
September, October.
Yeah, July is the wettest. Tropical storm. Supposedly, but I don't know if that holds true anymore. That's years ago, and a lot of things have changed.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. It's been a year of extremes, really, because we were wet in May, then June it just dried up, and then July, August, September we got pretty good rain. And then
at least we don't have the evaporation rates now.
Yeah, that is true. Because I'm still planting some flowers. I do the subdivision where my daughter lives, and I always keep extra flats because you don't know idiots driving through beds and deer and other things like that. And I'm not having to water them quite as much, the extra flats that I've got on hand.
Yeah, the cool nights definitely help a lot. Yeah.
Well, I need to ask these boys a question, since you call them boys. I have the notion now of doing some wildflowers and things in one part of the yard. And about a week ago, I roughed it up a little bit and threw them out. I think I messed up because it looks to me like they're already about to start setting plants.
Well, do you have any idea what you put out?
Yeah.
Well, just wildflower seeds, but I'm seeing little growth there already. I don't know. Somebody told me if you're going to do that, plant them now. I guess I screwed up.
Well, it could. I mean, because you have some. Some wildflower seeds you do put out in the fall. You go ahead and do it, and if they do sprout, if they'll tolerate sometime going through the cool.
Okay, well,
the,
good. I'm not.
And then the spring they'll start
then.
Really growing. It's like cool season weeds. They're germinating.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, how do we water properly? If we're out there dealing with a fescue lawn or, I guess, a cool season garden?
It depends what you've done. If you've reseeded your fescue, it does not take a ton of water. It's more about some moisture to get those seedlings up. And when they first sprout, Lord, they don't have anything for a root on them. So you're just wanting to keep them kind of damp. Oftentimes, any old conventional sprinkler you'd buy at a box store and hook to a hose, 30 minutes would probably be a gracious plenty for it. But one thing, and I ran into this the other day. I had one of the pansy snapdragon beds I had planted. Evidently, the wind was blowing that morning, and in the corner of the bed, it didn't get a drop of water, and it was very dry. So I went and filled up a couple of water cans. And when I came back and started to water them, the water just run right away. So you have to be really slow if the ground is really, really dry to get it soak in, because sometimes it'll travel and water may not end up where you want it to from there. So I had to do that a lot slower than I normally would have been the case. Yeah.
It's hydrophobic. It just runs away. Did the same thing. We've got a demonstration orchard that got started in Oxford, and I was out there watering some plants this week because I was afraid it'd been too long without any. And same thing. Yeah, water just ran right off of it.
Amazing.
Well, I have this rule that if a plant's in the ground, try to soak it. I know a lot of people just go along and they give them a squirt of water, they think it'll do it, just like you all talked about. It runs off. You need to let that thing soak all the way down, because those roots are gone, and many of the azaleas and camellias and things like that, you can't just go there and do a little dash of water.
Yeah.
And to go out, and a lot of people have this bad habit of just going where the trunk of the thing comes up. Well, that doesn't do it. You got to get on out there where those roots spread out.
Yeah. Teaching somebody how to water is one of the hardest things there is to do. That's it was a seminar one time I went to. I don't know if it was the Green and Growing Show or where, but the title of it was "He Who Holds the Water Wands Holds the Prophets," as far as inertia goes.
Right.
And that's a lot of times the case. You can drown them real quick, or you can let them dry out too quick. Usually they'll recover from being too dry quicker than they'll recover from being too wet.
Professor Herb, who calls us occasionally, just reminded me about cotton fields down east, too. And his mama lives in Jamesville, down near Plymouth, on the way to the Outer Banks. And he sent me a couple of pictures of beautiful cotton fields. And, yeah, that's another thing, another crop that I think about in my childhood down east is cotton fields. You ever worked cotton?
No, we never grew. Of course, I grew up on a farm in eastern Wake County. And
tobacco.
You see a little bit of cotton now
there,
but when I was coming along, there wasn't any cotton. You get back 30s, 40s, there were some, because I remember my father talking about picking some that they had grown a little bit, but never much. But no, we didn't ever grow any cotton. We didn't ever grow any peanuts either. A large part of our farm, though, is real sandy. We did grow sweet potatoes a couple of times, but not so much. I mean, not any, big kind of commercial endeavor.
Yeah, it's more down east, too, I think.
Whatever happened, they had that rage for a while about growing colored cotton, different colors.
I didn't know that.
There was a little rage there for a while where there's some experiments about blue and red cotton. I think that didn't do too well.
Kind of faded. Johnny, you have chickens. I've seen chickens with colored eggs.
Different chickens have different color eggs. It's whatever color, from what I understand, whatever color their ears are is the color egg they'll lay.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, we could have a whole discussion on chicken ears. Whoever thought.
Actually, I have a poultry show in Vance County this evening. Probably going to go down there and purchase a few more. Our chickens are beginning to age out, so I think we're
What's your most exotic kind of chicken?
We have Rhode Island Red. We're strictly
just Rhode Island Red. That's what we had. Plymouth Rock and Rhode Island Red.
Yeah, we just do Rhode Island Reds. I think Bard Rock and Rhode Island Red are the two that's going to be in this show today.
Yeah.
The poultry show, and then they'll sell them after the show. But it's a 4-H. They've been raising them since May, I guess, the 1st of May. The 4-H kids have been raising them, and then I think they're about 20 weeks old or so. So some of them, from what I understand from the 4-H agent talking to her this week, some of them are already beginning to lay. So that'll be good. We won't have to heat them and raise them up from chicks like we normally do. They'll be ready to go on the roost poles when we get them home. So.
I have my fondhood childhood memories of we had little baddies And I would always be so excited when the eggs would start hatching with the little bannies. And they were feisty little things.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't fitting to eat much, but they were fun. Fun for the foxes and the other things to chase.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have a rooster, so have some hens that sometimes think they're roosters. They want to.
Well, they're always worried about their ears.
Yeah, it's hard to grab a chicken by the ear, I'll tell you.
I'm sure who would want to do that anyway. 919-860-9783. This is the only place in the world, folks, you're going to hear about chicken ears. It's a weekend garden.
That's a new one on me. I'm interested in that now.
Yeah, I'm going to go home. It'll take a while to find the ear. You got to pull some feathers back, I guess. 919-860-9783. You know, it's always a great thing to take care of your car, and that means taking care of it in a lot of different ways as we approach colder weather. You want to make sure everything is in good shape, and you know, seasonally, it's kind of a good idea to make sure. Just do what. The car folks tell you to do, and the car folks around here that are best known and of course trusted the most, King's Auto Service. They've been in business since 1946 in Raleigh, and they can check any part of your car. They work on the European and American cars, or Japanese and American cars, rather, not the European, and they can also work on hybrid vehicles. They are certified hybrid technicians there. They've been trained for a lot of things. They go to school a lot and are retrained. And so if you have the regular combustible engine and or the combination, you can trust the folks at King's Auto Service. Now, if you have the hybrid vehicle, they have those high-voltage battery packs. And they can be quite expensive to replace, kind of like an engine. So make sure you take care of those and you know, let them check your 12-volt battery. They don't last as long as they used to. The big batteries, if they start to go out, they'll let you know at King's Auto Service. And they can also get you in to get you a new battery or one that is a replacement that can be a lot less than the dealers are going to charge you. And get a courtesy battery analysis. You get your car checked, period. You know, preventative maintenance. Get your oil changed, too. That's so important. Any mechanic will tell you that. King's Auto Service, easy to find at 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh and at kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.
When my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
You know, you like that, Rufus?
I love it.
Halloween's what, Thursday, I guess.
Yeah.
Everybody like that song, or you have a request?
Yeah.
Let's, Herb, we're having some trouble with some software, and I didn't realize you were on the line. I apologize, Professor. I appreciate the pictures, lovely cotton pictures. How's your mama doing?
She's doing 96. So I'll just say that.
All right. Well, 96. Great. So, good for her.
She's doing great. Doing great. My good morning to you and Rubus and Gerald and your other distinguished guests,
Johnny.
Johnny, I was just thinking when you talked about the chickens, I guess maybe 60 years ago, I was in 4-H, and I had some Rhode Island red chicks that I was raising, and I think at the end of the program, you have to give the 4-H people, maybe a half dozen chicks or something that they auction off. And so I had these chicks that I went up there to the final sell-off, and my uncle went up there with me. And so he was bidding on them, and I think the chicks were about $6, he thought. But as it turns out, he thought he was paying $6 for the six, but it was $6 for each one of them. So that was a great, great experience that I remember.
Did he cuss?
Yeah, I don't know, Johnny. Is that how they do it now?
Well, it's increments of three. But yeah, if you whatever you're bidding on, you're buying three of them at that much each. So if you bid $15, you're buying three chickens at $15 each. So it's $45.
Why not four? Why three?
I don't know.
Four adds up better. It's two pair, right?
Yeah, I don't know why they put them in pair in sets of three.
But, yeah, interesting.
I think they get so many. I'm not the 4-H agent, and I'm not even the livestock agent, so I don't know exactly. I think they have like five of one breed, and they have to bring three back to the sale. And if they get, and they can have two different breeds, or they can choose all one breed. Usually there's two different breeds in the show, but if a 4-H participant wants to just have one breed, they can, I think, do 10 of that breed, and or they can do five each of another breed, but they just bring six chickens back to the sale.
Yeah.
So of which,
well, I'll tell you, Johnny Hood and Wally Osley and Connie B. Gay and all the agriculture farm hour hosts on this station ought to be proud of us. We've been talking some agriculture this morning. How about that? So does that answer your question, Herb?
Yeah, it did. And I was going to tell Gerald, this is the last weekend for tomatoes. When I get back up there, I'm going to pull the last couple of Carolina Golds off, and that's it for the season.
Well,
y'all have a great weekend.
You get to Halloween, you've had a good year.
Yeah.
Before you go, is there something you wanted to say to Herb, Rufus?
Well, when I grew up, Herb, we had chicken killers on the farm. And I just related to the people in the audience who don't know, when you say running around like a chicken with its head cut off, is really true. Because my grandma would pop off those heads with an axe on a stump, and where that chicken would go, 30, 40 feet.
Just waking up.
At a good gallop. Did you ever go to have chicken killings, Herb, when you grew up as a 4-H'er?
Well, Rufus, I'm going to say this, and I'm just going to say this. I know what you're talking about, and I live up on the up above the river, and so it goes downhill. And so I'm just going to say that yes, I know what you're talking about, and I've had to run down the hill to the river to retrieve.
Oh my gosh! Well,
that's it. Good. Y'all have a great day.
Herb, we love hearing from you, and thank you.
Bye.
All right, let's talk gardening, guys.
Okay, right. Yeah, I agree. No more chickens. 919-860-9783. Tomatoes, yeah. Don't try to grow any more tomatoes this year.
No, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
But I expect there's still some people that have got, you know, the people that don't give up on their tomatoes when they, you know, stop fruiting in the heat of August and often July, keep warding them and looking after them. And then when the weather finally breaks, they go back to blooming and fruiting. I expect there's a fair number of people that have got some tomatoes now, and they're starting to watch that potential frost window.
Yeah.
So they'll know when to take. We had a little bit of scattered frost.
Yeah.
But we hadn't had a real frost yet.
Yeah, hadn't had a killing frost, no. I call it. Yeah, we've had some scattered frost in certain areas, even in Granville County, even northern Granville County, Oxford and north. I've heard reports that they didn't get any frost. But we were down 32.9, I think, is the coldest I saw on the thermometer this year. So, but it was a scattered frost with that. And it did kill some of the more tender. Of course, the annuals, if they were exposed, they were gone. But even some of the perennials, herbaceous perennials, got knocked back from that. But overall, I think most people got out of that first wave, and usually it's about the middle of October when we get that. We'll get a frost, and often it's a couple of 3 weeks after that before we'll get another heavy frost. So, and I don't see anything that cold in the 10-day or 5-day. I don't trust 10-day very much.
Yeah,
don't hardly trust a 5-day.
Right. Well, it's more like November is when we start getting and hopefully we will. I'd like to have some cold weather.
Well, let me tell you a little experience I've done over the years with tomatoes. I've got a couple green ones, and one year, I had a good year. I took newspaper, Gerald, wrapped them up, put them in a box, stuck them down in the basement where it's a dirt floor. They were still green, brought them out about Christmas time. They ripened up and did well. And other years I've not had. Have you had any experience with that?
Well, generally speaking, if you look at the tomatoes closely, that green tomato will start to lighten up right before it starts to turn whatever color it's going to turn. And if you pull them off the vine and take them inside and they've already started to lighten up some, 90% of those will go ahead and ripen fine. If you pull a tomato that was not fully grown and was just super-duper green, then you're into iffy
character. Right.
If that's ever going to ripen. But if it's got to the mature size for that tomato and you can see that green starting to lighten up a little, almost a whitish green, I call it, more often than not, those will go ahead and ripen just fine. Don't refrigerate them or anything like that.
No.
Just leave them out. I have filled up the counters before in the kitchen every which way but loose from that, and just get a – as surprising as you get on into November and sometimes December, and you've got still got a good tomato to eat. Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, what I was told and worked about wrapping them up in newspaper and putting them in a dark place, it worked.
A tomato that has already matured and already started to lighten up, you can put in a closet drawer. I mean, anywhere. It doesn't have, just thinking it has to be on a windowsill to get sun, that's not.
Right.
That's not the case. Yeah. So I think probably, and I don't know this because I've never wrapped them with paper, but I know a multitude of people, especially the generation older than me, used to do that. and that more than anything, I think that's probably to keep them dry, because any kind of moisture at all in that process you'll start to see it rot or mold or something like that, which is not good. I expect that's probably what that's for.
Yeah.
I see Rufus with an apple in front of him there. I was thinking about the apple crop, and I haven't been to the farmer's market this week. Rufus, have you been out there?
Yes, I did.
And I know you buy apples.
Well, there were plenty of apples at the orchard from Taylorsville, North Carolina.
Yeah, they were not affected.
They were not affected
as much, and that's where we've gotten ours from.
But that's the only apples I saw.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Monica about that this morning. And the Christmas trees, I heard from a Christmas tree grower yesterday, and his are fine. He's up in the Newland area in Avery County, I guess it is, and Johnny Tommy Burleson area. And he said that the main problem was the roads, especially if you have a larger operation and you have to have semis, get up there. He says he has a smaller operation, but the trees are okay. It's just the transportation,
logistics,
and it's amazing. I mean, there are people, and check before you go, but there are a lot of areas that are really coming back. Some of the harder hit areas, like Chimney Rock and Spruce Pine, are not for a while. But you know, there are areas in the northern mountains and some areas down around Asheville that are just begging for people to come and you know, spend some money. Don't go down there and gawk at the problems that they're having, but do some business with them. And So
I would suspect a lot of places up there, the trees is probably peaking right now.
Yeah.
I know often when people would ask me, I'd say, well, whenever there's fires here, go to the mountains because it'll be
but
just
right. But you know, we haven't had any around here. I've been looking at the trees and, you know, the tulip poplars, for instance. They're pretty yellow, but they look like they're, you know, starting to brown on the edges and drop off. And I'm just worried that since we haven't had any rain for a while, we've had cool nights, but we haven't had the moisture. I'm just afraid we're not going to have a gorgeous year like we did last year, for instance.
It's in the Granville County, and I travel 158 going from Granville to Person quite a bit, and it's they are really beginning to turn.
Yeah,
there the persimmons, the black gums, the the dogwoods, they're really beginning to.
Right.
But you're right. I've noticed the sycamores and the poplars, they just turn in yellow and then browning out. They're not.
There's
not
no
color. And they often do that. They'll do that in the summertime if it gets too
Well, that's true.
But
I haven't seen any bright yellows or bright
reds.
Yeah,
it's
bright
been more reds. I've seen red. I have seen
But they're
some,
kind
some
of dull
reds.
Reds. I haven't seen any really striking colors.
You need to get out in the country, Mike.
I do. I really do. I wish I had time.
Northern part of it. We'll have to get you up in the Person County area. T.G. Brooks.
I need to drive. Yeah, absolutely. I need to drive up to Clarksville, Virginia, or something like that. That's not too far from you, is it?
No. Clarksville's, from the house, probably 45 minutes. From Oxford, less than that, 25 minutes. Not
by the way, I'm told by folks from Boone relatives that it's okay to come now. The leaves are still there. Mm-hmm. It's okay to come to Boone to do some leaf gawking if you want to.
Yeah. They'd love to have it. I've looked at some webcams. The webcams are not working for some of the Banner Elk area, Beach Mountain.
Yeah.
But I did find that one, and it looked like there was traffic through there, and also Blowing Rock. And Boone, you know, King Street looks fine. It looks quite different from the morning I was showing Rufus the river of water, muddy water,
coming
right down the street. It was just and trucks, pickup trucks just flying through that water. But they're coming back. I mean, they're resilient people, and I just first thing I thought about a couple of weeks ago when it started really getting colder was those people, and still without electricity. This farmer who we talked to yesterday from Newland, you know, he lost a pole. It still hadn't been fixed. You know, they're trying, it's unbelievable how Duke Energy and some of these co-ops have gotten up there and fixed, over a million people's problems, and gotten them back online. But there's still some that it's hard to get up the road to fix these things, and they're using helicopters and all kinds of things. So hopefully that'll be. But I just hate that they are suffering with the cold now. So. Yeah.
Talking about the Christmas trees, the forest ranger for Person County is up there helping actually organize transportation for the Christmas trees to actually
wonderful. Yeah, please, the Commissioner Troxler is saying, please don't buy artificial Christmas trees this year. Buy a real Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Fraser fir. Whatever you consider one, a cedar tree, or a lot of people grew up and cut one down on the farm, and there are a lot of there's some Christmas tree farms around here too, but especially the Fraser fir people.
Those number one Fraser fir grower in the country.
Right. So do that. 919-860-9783. Wanna welcome a new sponsor to the Weekend Gardener, and this is the Ashworths. I think that at one time they owned Wake County. They're in Cary, they're in Fuquay Varina, they're all over the place, especially in the southern part of town. And I know that Ashworths Clothing has been in business, and I just love it when families pass their knowledge down from one generation to the next. And there are three generations that have owned Ashworth Clothing in Fuquay Varina. And Rufus, I know that you have
got a pair of pants on right now from Steve. And also, he's the fellow that once in a while gives me a cigar.
They had, I think they, you can get a cigar there.
That's true. Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful store to go shopping in.
It's just...
personal attention.
Personal attention is just elegance at its greatest. And I don't know if you knew this, but you probably did. His grandfather, Steve's grandfather, was named Rufus. So Rufus and Cornelia Ashworth.
No, I did
started
not.
The store. Wow. And then Skinny and Jimmy Ashworth,
right.
Next Generation.
Yes.
And then Steve, Jimmy's son, Steve. So, you know, it's something that stays in the family like that. And, you know, they sell all the great clothing makers, Barber and Peter Millar and Robert Talbot, the Gitman Brothers, Southern Tide, Hart Shafter and Marks, Allen Edmond Shoes. It's just a fun, and they have such an array, such a stock of clothing and ties. You could spend an hour just looking at ties there, and they have some of the most unique, and they can outfit you and match colors that most people can't figure out. It's hard to match colors sometimes, match shirts and ties with a jacket, and boy, they can really do that. And to top it off with a little silk handkerchief or something in the pocket, handkerchief.
I don't know whether they can still do it or not, but some time ago I went in there to get a pair of pants, and they needed cuffing. And Steve said, wait just a moment. He walked out the door, walked to a fine lady next door, and said, I'll be right back in 10 minutes. Came back, and those pants were cuffed.
I don't doubt it.
That's the best way to be cuffed I know of.
Well, being Attorney General, you should certainly understand that process. But, yeah, so 1937, they've been in business at Ashworth Clothiers in Fuquay Varina. So they're right there on Main Street. Now, they're kind of two Main Streets but this is the one down 401. We passed Ashworth's last week going down to Harnett County. So that beautiful old downtown, beautiful town that's thriving now, Ashworth Clothing. Go to their website and check it out, Ashworth's Clothing in Fuquay Varina. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener, and Mike Raley here along with Rufus Edmonston. I'm paid to say things like that. I should be able to enunciate. Johnny Coley, Cooperative Extension Service in Person County and Granville County. Gerald Adams, who you know is retired now. And well,
Semi-retired,
yeah. You grow a semis full of tomato plants and other things, too now. But, of course, a governor's gardener for many years in Centennial Campus. And so we beg you to call because we only have an hour left today because the Tar Heels are playing at noon, another noon game for the – for the Tar Heels, and
I know what you normally call them, but we won't say it. on the radio.
I got a couple of bosses that. Well, I'm NC State, so you know, several NC State people in here. You kind of outnumbered this morning, Rufus.
I always
am. Although,
2-2 this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Gerald went to Carolina. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I didn't know if he wore that hat just for Rufus.
No. He's a Carolina graduate, so.
He got over it.
I forgot about that. But, yeah, so we only have 2 hours this morning. That's like four shows this year.
Well, why don't we do the Cliff?
Mac Brown owes me some money.
Why don't we do Cliff Joyner before we get gone?
Well, Cliff Joyner, by golly, what did he say?
All right, he said, do not let making a living prevent you from making a life.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that? I can't get in the way.
Don't let the little things bother you.
Yeah.
Let it all go.
Oh, everything bothers me. I worry about everybody's problems, and so, Yeah, I got to get away from that to hear my old
age. Let it all go. I had a letter one time from Bill Clinton. Wrote me a letter and said, let it all go.
We got to go.